Are you personally deriving benefits from God's ruling kingdom? And if so, what do these blessings portend for the near future? Pay close attention as Brother Derek Troop, Circuit Overseer in the Edmonton area, presents our keynote address. Its theme is Highly Esteem Present Kingdom Blessings.
During election campaigns, voters are often bombarded with political promises that the candidates assure them they are absolutely going to keep if they are elected. For some politicians, they will rely on their past performances in order to try and convince their constituents why it is that they can trust them. For many, though, they actually avoid ever mentioning altogether what they have done in the past and how their bold promises have failed to come true. The promises of politicians has really only accomplished one thing: general disappointment with people. Contrast this with our great God Jehovah. If we turn to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, please take your Bibles. I invite you to turn to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says, and is based on a hope of the everlasting life that God, who cannot lie, promised long ago. That's the promise. Jehovah does not have the ability to lie. Right in his written word, he gives us assurance that we can absolutely trust any of the promises that he has made to us. See, unlike any politician, Jehovah doesn't need our vote or our endorsement. His kingdom is going to come according to his promise, regardless of what any human chooses to do. The choice is not whether or not his kingdom should rule, but rather whether or not we are going to personally benefit from it coming. That being the case, how can we demonstrate true confidence that the future blessings promised to us concerning God's kingdom will actually come to pass? One way is by highly esteeming the blessings that we have already received from God's kingdom. As has been mentioned, we are already in the 100th year of kingdom rule. Since that time, there have been countless blessings that have been experienced by loyal servants of Jehovah all over the earth. What do you think some of these blessings are? Let us see how our confidence in the kingdom can be enhanced by appreciating the benefits that we have experienced in three areas of our lives. The first area that we want to discuss is the area of physical benefits that we have received from kingdom rule. See, Jehovah, he did not promise miracles during the last days of Satan's wicked world. However, some of the changes that have taken place in the lives of those that have been transformed by the Bible have seemed nothing short of a miracle. For example, one man who trusted the power of the Bible was taunted by his friends. They said to him, "Surely a sensible man like you cannot believe in the miracles that the Bible tells about. You cannot, for instance, believe that this Jesus of yours turned water into wine." The man simply replied, "Whether he turned water into wine or not, I do not know. But in my own house, I've seen him turn beer into furniture." You see, this man had been a former drunkard and wasted his family's money drinking. The Bible is what helped him to change. Because of the education program of Jehovah's Kingdom, millions have made radical changes in their lifestyles. And in some cases, this may have even led to the saving of their lives. Take, for example, Essa, who from his early school days was involved with street fighting. He joined a notorious street gang, which led to even more violent conflicts. He also immersed himself in a heavy metal band. But during this time, Essa feared that he was going to burn in a fiery hell for the way that he acted, and he started to pray to God. One of his workmates turned out to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses and amazed Essa at the logical answers he gave to the questions that Essa had. In time, Essa was baptized in 1992 at the International Convention held at St. Petersburg in Russia. He says now, "Had I not become one of Jehovah's Witnesses, I might not be alive today. In the past, I constantly drifted in and out of problems and crisis. Now, I have real purpose in life, and I feel that everything is in place." The education of Jehovah's Kingdom has allowed many others to make changes that have also led to them receiving a better quality of life. Take, for example, Nabia, who was born in Bulgaria. At age 14, she ran away for the first time from home and quickly got involved in smoking, drinking, and drugs. She also became heavily involved in drug trafficking, and at the age of 24, was arrested in an airport in Brazil for drug possession. She was sentenced to a total of 6 years in prison, where she began studying the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses. 6 months after being released from prison, she was baptized. Nabia states, "I'm a happy person now, free from destructive habits. I enjoy much better physical and emotional health than when I was younger. I have a happy marriage and a close friendship with my Heavenly Father Jehovah." Friends, stop and think. Have you received some physical benefits because of the educational work sponsored by God's ruling kingdom? Are we not free from the enslavement of the vices and heartache that grips so many of the people in this world? Why, though, is it that we experience these physical benefits from kingdom rule? Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and 17 reads, "This is what Jehovah says, your repurchaser, the Holy One of Israel. I, Jehovah, am your God, the one teaching you to benefit yourself, the one guiding you in the way you should walk." Do you see why it is that we benefit? It's because Jehovah is teaching us. And when Jehovah teaches us by means of his kingdom rule, by means of this education, we are always benefited physically. How important it is that we regularly meditate on these blessings that we receive physically. The second area of life that we benefit from when it comes to kingdom rule is mental and emotional wellness. Yes, the benefits that we experience now from kingdom rule, they are not simply limited to physical benefits. If your Bibles are still open in Isaiah 48, let's carry on reading in verse 17, where it says, "If only you would pay attention to my commandments, then your peace would become just like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." What does Jehovah's way teach us? That we have peace when we receive this instruction from Jehovah. Yes, peace of mind, self-respect, genuine happiness. Let's consider some examples of how we benefit mentally and emotionally. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 reads, "Do not be anxious over anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication along with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mental powers by means of Christ." What is one of the most common things that can rob us of peace of mind? Is it not anxiety? And yet these verses are teaching us that if we allow our anxieties to be made known to Jehovah by means of prayer, in verse 7, what's the assurance? Jehovah will guard your mental power. So you notice down in our reference, in our footnote, he will guard your mind or your thoughts. Here's another example. We are given clear guidance as to how we can have a successful, happy family life. Let's turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 5 and read together verses 33, then chapter 6 and verse 1 and 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, each one of you must love his wife as he does himself. On the other hand, the wife should have deep respect for her husband. Children, be obedient to your parents in union with the Lord, for this is righteous." Verse 4, "And fathers, do not be irritating your children, but go on bringing them up in the discipline and admonition of Jehovah." Do you notice in these verses that each member of the household has a role to fulfill? And when these guidelines are followed, the results are peace, happiness, stability. There is an environment of love that is created. The Bible also helps us with the practical benefits of having an emotional state of mind that's clear. Consider the sound scriptural advice given to us at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. Let's turn over to another example here. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. Proverbs 14 and 30 reads, "A calm heart gives life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones." Do you notice in our footnote, it says a calm heart gives, in our footnote, health? Yes, what a contrast that a calm heart can give us with the ill effects of jealousy and how it can eat away at us. And this is one of many examples in the Bible of how principles within the scriptures can contribute to us having good emotional health. By us freely forgiving one another, putting away wrath, bitterness, abusive speech, by putting on the new personality that the Bible encourages us to, our emotional state is helped. Please take note of the benefits that one of our brothers named Ian from England experienced. Ian says that despite a comfortable upbringing, even as a child, I was never really happy. I became quite disillusioned with life. I questioned the existence of God, reasoning, why does he allow people to suffer and die? Ian joined the Navy. Then he worked at different jobs. He tried traveling abroad, overseas, but nothing relieved his despondency. He began binge drinking every day. He said, "I had no desire to set goals or achieve anything. Nothing really appealed to me." Ian was invited to attend a convention of Jehovah's Witnesses, and he decided to go. He observed that these people seemed to have a feeling of contentment and peace, something that he had yearned for. He was offered a Bible study and started to attend Christian meetings. Ian says, as I studied, my view of God completely changed. I learned that he is not the cause of suffering and that he himself is hurt when people do bad things. In March of 1994, Ian was baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Now he says, I am genuinely happy. I've been happily married for the last 10 years and spend most of my time now helping others learn the truth about God. At last, my life has purpose. Brothers and sisters, stop for a moment and think, what would your life be like without the influence of God's kingdom? The third area that we want to discuss is the spiritual blessings that we receive from God's kingdom rule. In fact, we would like you to stop for a moment, and if you're taking notes, actually write down very quickly just three spiritual benefits that you feel you've received from God's kingdom. Just briefly write down three spiritual benefits that you've received from God's kingdom. Let's consider five spiritual blessings that we have received from kingdom rule. First, Psalm 25 and verse 14. Let's turn there to Psalm 25 and verse 14. Psalm 25 and verse 14 reads, close friendship with Jehovah belongs to those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. The first and greatest spiritual blessing of kingdom rule is a close personal relationship with the sovereign of the universe. There simply could be no greater privilege that any imperfect human could ever have. The second spiritual blessing, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 7 and 12 reads, for wisdom is a protection, just as money is a protection. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves the life of its owner. Well, where does this wisdom come from? Is it not the ongoing theocratic education that is made available to each one of us at our weekly congregation meetings, at our assemblies, and at our conventions such as these? All free of charge. The third spiritual blessing of kingdom rule. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 9. 1 Peter 5 and 9 reads, but take your stand against him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by the entire association of your brothers in the world. Do you notice the footnote for verse 9? By your brotherhood. Yes, we have a brotherhood, a loving spiritual family worldwide that each one of us are privileged to be part of. The fourth spiritual blessing from kingdom rule, Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Turn with me back to Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 reads, the name of Jehovah is a strong tower. Into it, the righteous one runs and receives protection. What are we protected from by Jehovah? We are protected from Satan. We are protected from his demons. We are protected from this entire world. In fact, Jehovah has proven to us time and time again the divine protection that he has given us as a group of his people. The fifth spiritual blessing. Just turn ahead a few pages to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18. Proverbs 23 and verse 18. For then you will have a future and your hope will not be cut off. Yes, we have a future. We have a hope. There is nothing that adds more purpose to one's life than the blessings the kingdom gives to us now. We know where it is we've come from. We know why we are here. We understand why suffering exists. And most importantly, what the future has in store. Many who are now kingdom supporters were in the past deeply involved in the world's political system. Consider the experience of Ruben Rosales that we'd like to relate to you. On October 25th, 1960, Ruben, along with five other men, organized and carried out a coup d'etat in the country of El Salvador, successfully overthrowing the existing government under the leadership of President José Lemus. Ruben felt that the new six-man government could solve the injustices in El Salvador and general discontent that existed. At age 19, Ruben had become an officer. By 21, a lieutenant. By 25, a captain. He spent 3 years in Mexico learning to organize and direct military training. On his return to El Salvador, he was given responsibility to set up an infantry and artillery school. He was asked to be an observer to the United States for the 504th Field Artillery Battalion in the Panama Canal, and was a military aide to the El Salvadorian Minister of Defense. With such extensive military training, Ruben said, "It was only natural for me to think that military change could bring a better government to our land." Their newly formed government did not last long because of their refusal to give financial support to the Archbishop of the Catholic Church. Shortly, a campaign started from church pulpits preaching the new government was pro-Castro and pro-communist. By January 25, 1961, a second coup was staged and Ruben's government was overthrown. 3 days later, he was in exile in Mexico. With the threat of being killed if he returned to his home country, Ruben moved to the United States in October of 1962. It was Ruben's 17-year-old son who asked his father if he would mind if he studied the Bible with a fellow classmate who happened to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Ruben said, "I had no real objection." Soon, though, his son became very interested in starting attended meetings. In time, he wanted to be a witness. Although initially Ruben strongly opposed his son, it was his conduct that began to impress him and made Ruben curious about his son's new religion. "I accepted a Bible study, and what impressed me was the reasonableness of what the Bible teaches. I found my studies extremely interesting, particularly when it came to discussing matters that involve government. With my background, I recognized the need for honest government with the power to enforce righteous laws. It became clear to me that the Bible is true when it says at Jeremiah 10:23, it does not belong to man who is walking even to direct his own step. I began to appreciate another reason why man's efforts at self-government have failed, because the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one." With that superhuman influence, it became clear to me why even well-meaning men have been helpless to bring about good government. In my studies, I could see that God's kingdom is the only hope of realizing good government on earth. I began attending meetings and was impressed by the friendly welcome I received. I asked myself, why were these people so happy and peaceful? It took a while to become convinced of the answer. They were conforming their lives to God's laws, the laws that will govern those who live under God's kingdom. In August 1969, I symbolized by water baptism my dedication to serve God. How happy I am to have learned that soon the whole earth will enjoy good government under the kingdom rule of God's kingdom. Yes, ones like Reuben and countless others have come to appreciate and recognize the superiority of God's kingdom. When writing to the Corinthian congregation, Paul spoke of a vision that he had received, a vision that is of interest to us. So we invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Chapter 12, starting at verse 2. Paul says, I know a man in union with Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught away to the third heaven. Yes, I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, who was caught away into paradise and heard words that cannot be spoken and that are not lawful for a man to say. Let's examine the contents of these verses. First, the experience Paul speaks of involved a future event because in verse 1 of chapter 12, he refers to it as being a revelation. But now in verse 2, Paul speaks of being caught away to the third heaven. What is meant by the third heaven? Well, the Bible shows us that the number 3 represents emphasis, intensity, or added strength. Thus, what Paul was speaking of, or what he saw, was elevated or exalted. It was spiritual. What is the heaven that Paul speaks of in verse 2? The words heaven or heavens can refer to various things in the Bible. A good example of this is 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 5 of 2 Peter 3, we are told that long ago there were heavens and earth. This reference to the heavens was the pre-flood heavens and its water canopy. But in 2 Peter 3, verse 7, two verses down, Peter speaks of yet another type of heavens that are reserved for fire and are being kept until the judgment day and of the destruction of ungodly people. These heavens include human rulership. They are the wicked heavens and earth symbolized by Satan's world or his entire system of things. Then further along in that same chapter, at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, Paul yet again refers to more heavens when he uses the expression, new heavens. This expression, new heavens, symbolizes the kingdom arrangement. And it is this heaven that Paul is referring to when he speaks of this supernatural vision that he had had. The fact that he refers to it as the third heaven means that it is a superlative, elevated form of heaven that could only be the messianic kingdom in the hands of Jesus Christ and the 144,000. This new heaven will take full control of the new earth when the former heaven and earth have passed away. Paul was given a glimpse of that blessed future time. If our Bibles are still open in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, Paul speaks of being caught away into paradise. What was this paradise that Paul saw? Well, just like the word heaven, paradise can likewise mean various things. For example, it can refer to the physical paradise on earth that is yet to come. It can also refer to the spiritual condition of God's people. And additionally, the paradise of God can refer to the blessed conditions that are in heaven. In this particular case, as we read at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, it is possible that Paul was actually alluding to all three of these aspects in using the word paradise when he was describing his experience. So, are we clear on what all of those expressions in Paul's vision stand for? Because this is an adjustment in our understanding of these verses. So let's summarize the main points again and make sure that we understand each of them. First point, what is the third heaven referred to in Paul's vision at 2 Corinthians 12:2? It is likely the new heaven, the messianic kingdom in the hands of Christ Jesus and the 144,000. Second point, how is it the third heaven? Because the kingdom is superlative. It's elevated. It's an elevated form of rulership or elevated form of heaven. Point three, what is the paradise? It is likely referring to the physical paradise, the spiritual paradise, and the paradise of God that will exist in the future in God's new world. And the fourth point, what is the new world? It is the combination of both the new heavens and the new earth. It is the new government for mankind, including the kingdom government. In verse 4, what was it that Paul saw in that vision? Paul was given a foregleam of future kingdom blessings. He saw the beauty of the new world, a combination of both the new heavens and the new earth. Paul said in verse 4 that he heard words that cannot be spoken and are not lawful for a man to say. It simply was not the time for Paul to explain in detail the marvelous things that he had seen in this vision. But now, brothers and sisters, it is the time for us to declare abroad the good news of the kingdom so that all can hear. We are already experiencing a foretaste of these kingdom benefits, and just as the Israelites started to eat from the fruitage of the promised land long before they conquered that entire land, we too are already experiencing the benefits of the kingdom even before entering into the new world. At Luke chapter 9 and verse 60, Jesus plainly commanded his followers to speak about this kingdom. Do you not feel motivated to tell everyone about these marvelous kingdom blessings? Last year, we received 6 new tracts. This year, to help you continue to declare the kingdom, it is a pleasure to release this new tract, the 7th, entitled, What is the Kingdom of God? You will find that this new tract focuses on the theme of our preaching work, the good news of the kingdom. It will help new ones to understand clearly that God's kingdom is a real government and will soon make the whole world into a paradise. Both the JW.org logo and the QR code for our website are also featured on the back of the tract. Friends, use this tract to help many more appreciate the kingdom. Yes, continue to declare far and wide the benefits of God's kingdom ruling government, and thereby show that you highly esteem present kingdom blessings.
Thank you, Brother True, for conveying that thrilling explanation of 2 Corinthians chapter 12.